Welcome to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Talk about stuff that's messing with your head and crazy stuff that's happening in the bed. Why? Because many church folks are falling in the darkness, and the Bible calls us to walk as children of light. The Bible says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to Ghostbusters, the radio show that talks about strange things in the neighborhood and weird stuff that don't look good. Ladies and gentlemen, we are under attack. Yeah, we are under the attack. I'm talking about the Christian religion, the Christian faith, the church world is under attack. We got some evil in the camp. You know, we got some evil in the camp. Yeah, some evil. And a lot of people are not even aware that we got some evil in the camp, because it comes across as a friendly lit movie that's out there called The Shack. You know, The Shack came out several years earlier, and it was in a book form, and now it's in a movie form. You know, it, like I said yesterday, if you want to influence people, you either put it in a book or you put it in a movie. And because both of those things can be around hundreds of years. Yeah. See, the thing about a movie, in the first week that movie is being made, being watched, when it shows up, that first couple of weeks, it's millions of people watches it. And then once they done made their money off of it, once they done made about $50 million or $40 million, you know, then they put that in the DVD form, and then they put it on cable TV and all of that. And so that movie is going to be watched by hundreds and millions of people, hundreds of thousands and millions of people. And it'll be around for years and years. And so this thing is dangerous, ladies and gentlemen, because it's putting a lie out in the neighborhood, and it's going around the world. It's going around the world. And see, when people see this, one of the problems that people have, it's hard for them to discern truth from error. And it's hard for them to discern truth from fiction. Now, this man, he say that this is a fictional thing, and you know, this is really not true, this is kind of make-believe. No, but people who don't really know God, and see, when you don't know your Bible, then you're going to be open, a person is going to be open to believe almost any and everything, because you don't have a standard to gauge truth from error. Yeah, you don't have a standard. And so, this thing here is very dangerous, and we're exploring this week, The Shack. And so this is the final documentary, or this is the final part of the documentary on The Shack. So get close to your radio and listen.
For those who do not know Martin Scorsese, he has produced many ultra-violent films about drug dealers and psychopaths. This is an article by Scott W. Sundquist, one of the deans of Fuller Theological Seminary, and he talks about gospel heresy, and that heresy is a very strong word in times. Past heretics were, you know, burned at the stake. They were killed, okay, for their beliefs. Therefore, do not use the word lightly. And he goes on to say that they had made past mistakes in the liberation and blessing passage as being for them alone. Talking about Christians, Jesus would not allow that kind of ethnocentric thinking about the good news, meaning we have the blessings, we have the liberation, and it's nobody else's. Okay? No, it's for everybody. Okay? That right there should show you that it's wrong. That what he's trying to do is isolate Christians who don't believe that. That, I mean, he's trying to accuse Christians of being real heretics, of being ethnocentric, okay? And that I believe that a gospel that is mostly only for our own types is closer to the religion of pagan than the faith of and Jesus Christ. So if you're close to Jesus Christ and you have a relationship with God, you're closer to the religion of paganism than the actual faith in Jesus Christ. What does that even mean? Well, we're going to show that this Dean, this Scott W. Sundquist, he himself is trying to usher in. He's an agent for a New World Order type system, whether he knows it or not. He's being used by Satan to try to bash Christians who have a strong desire and love for God and want to know him and obey him. And he's bashing them and calling them fundamentalists, heretics, pagans, so that he can then become the enlightened one that should tell you how we should behave to bring in a fuller accomplishment of the Great Commission. Fuller Theological Seminary has their very own blog on Patheos, a New Age mysticism type aggregate news website that has Kabbalah, Hindu, and Universalist type cult leaders writing about how to unite the world through religious experience. Scott W. Sundquist is a prevalent writer on that website. Paul Young, one of the authors of The Shack, says that Wayne Jacobson, a co-author of The Shack, was his main inspiration. Wayne Jacobson wrote a book called So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore. This book is about a fictional pastor who began getting advice from a modern-day apostle who knew the true Jesus. Doesn't this kind of sound like 1 Samuel 28 when Saul inquired of a sorceress woman who had a connection to the spirit world, and he was speaking with Samuel? You have to wonder, people that speak with spirits or have conversations with them or even write about it, where are they getting that information and who are they really speaking to? Wayne Jacobson wrote a realistic fiction novel before Paul Young's realistic fiction novel, where Wayne Jacobson is hiding his religious views under the pseudonym Jake Coulson. Using a fake name as an author is called a pseudonym, and unlike Paul Young putting his name out there as the real author of The Shack, which tells his theology through a fiction story, Wayne Jacobson tells his real life and story and theology through a fake author to try and hide what many Christians would call heretical views.
I met Paul 15 months before I saw the manuscript. He wasn't working on this book then. He was working on a book for his children. So he's what they call a third culture kid, doesn't have a dominant culture. So sometimes those people have a real advantage in not looking at the gospel through the prism of our cultural biases.
Strong brother in the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul Flynn, does an amazing job in his documentary, The Shack, It's Dangerous Theology and Error, explaining why fictional explanation of the Word of God is very dangerous. I'm asking you to please donate to Paul Flynn and support his ministry. He let God use him to make a documentary that foretold the dangers of The Shack before its theatrical release.
This is what 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, "For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died." All died. Who's the all who died? The all who died can only be those who are in Christ. But he says he died for all. I can go to another verse to show you the same thing in the book of Romans, chapter 5, where it says justification results to all men. Just like
you have to also acknowledge that there is a whole realm of theology that would say that everyone was wrapped up into Christ.
Yeah, universalism, Torrance, which is
interesting. No, it's not universalism. This is the Torrance brothers. This is good, solid, orthodox theologians.
The problem is, in this apparent
rejection of universalism, you have to understand what William Paul Jung means by reconciliation. If you read the companion work, C. Baxter Kruger's work on this as well, which William Paul Jung endorses and states, if you want to understand the Shack better, you need to read this book. He also reiterates that everybody, regardless of whether they're reconciled or not, their sins have been paid for. But that does not mean all are in relationship with the Father. Here's a book called Diary of a Heretic, The Pagan Adventures of a Christian Priest. In June 2007, Reverend Mark Townsend left the hierarchy of the church because of his brokenness. He goes on to say that neo-paganism is generally so eclectic and non-dogmatic and actually blends many paths. I've come across a huge amount of Druitches, for example, and even a few Jewitches. There are thousands of pagans who happily use God and goddess images for Hinduism or immerse themselves in the Hebrew Kabbalah. Surely, there are some Christian elements that can be of value to pagans and vice versa. Here he goes on to say that you have Christness in you, okay, and that you're Christ at all times, and that Jesus is the man in whom the Christ was somehow strangely embodied. Others have also been embodied in Christness, not least the Buddha. Christ is the concept reality of an incarnation spark of God in all things.
We're taking a chance as we tap into our spiritual side. Anybody know what their spiritual side is? That's good. I am not talking about religion. I am a Christian. That is my faith. I'm not asking you to be a Christian. I have respect for all faiths. All faiths. I'm talking about spirituality, so I want to get clear on what I mean by that. It means, my definition is, living your life with an open heart through love. There is a force, energy, consciousness, divine thread, I believe, that connects all spiritually to all of us, to something greater than ourselves.
Papa says that it's okay that fables and mythology and all the pagan stuff is accepted because they're golden little threads that connect the world to know the bigger Godhead.
I have no respect for the doctrine of universalism. It is demonic, it is heresy, it is not just poor interpretation of the Bible, it is of the Antichrist spirit, and it needs to be exposed, and we need to confront this thing today.
I believe that Jesus is the way to the one God, but I believe there are many paths to Jesus.
When you come to church, when you worship Him, you're not doing it for God, really. You're doing it for yourself.
The Shack authors will deny they are using paganism, witchcraft terminology, and definitions for their characters and storyline all day long. If they have gone out of their way to hide their history and belief system from their readers and viewers up until this point, they will assuredly deny the following research.
Hi guys, it's me, Jenna, from the White Witch Parlor, and today I want to discuss the top 15 signs for spiritual awakening. This can be a really intense journey for people and time, and it's really, really good to know the symptoms so that you don't feel like you're going crazy or losing yourself, because you're definitely not. You're just turning into a butterfly and you're emerging out of your cocoon and you're finally awakening to something greater.
Hi there, beautiful souls. Avalon here, and I wanted to talk to you today about your power and your shadow elements. As an elemental practitioner, I really see the world through an elemental lens, and doing so enables me to better understand the nature behind things. It is something that happens so automatically for me. I see if a person is ruled by fire, or by water, or by air.
In the Shack, God is constantly being portrayed as Mother Nature, or Earth, or Ground. The more you look into the name Papa for this goddess deity for Mother Nature that's in the book, you'll find that she actually created islands, much of her story is surrounded by a sacred tree that also has to deal with Kabbalah.
These 10 Sephirot, they are spoken about in the tradition of the Kabbalah as emanations or qualities. Tarot and Kabbalah need to be studied in conjunction with each other. Okay. Tarot is also all about the qualities of the self and the universe. They call it the Book of Life, and it is basically a pictorial, symbolic representation of the soul's journey through life, as is the Tree of Life as well.
Element 2 and 3, water and air. In the Shack, part of the false trinity god, Sarayu, is an Asian or Hindu woman whose name truly means wind or air. The authors of the Shack will suggest that it is the feminine vernacular or wording for spirit in Greek or Hebrew. This does not make sense to call the wind and water element of witchcraft Surayu. Why not use any other name? Unless Paul Jung did it on purpose. In Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist is getting the world prepared for the Messiah, Jesus Christ. He says, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is lighter than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." Here's an article by Parashurasis. It's a subscription-based service. You have to pay for these articles, but I found a cached version from Google, and this is the very frightening, weird thing that is going to connect Freemasonic Kabbalah. That's going to connect Paul Jung with Freemasonry and Kabbalah-type teaching and Luciferian doctrine. So he's going to meet a pastor at Richmond Grace Church in Richmond, Virginia. And this is a direct quote from the article. "I was thrilled just to be in the room. It was a regional conference of the Worldwide Church of God. Although everyone was welcome and it was beautiful and fun and full of life, in the basement of a Masonic temple where Richmond Grace meets every Sunday, people of all colors and all walks of life gather." And he goes on to say that the Worldwide Church of God is getting rid of all types of isms, and that the church is open to the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that all walks of life, all religions are gathered there. And he goes on to say that when he meets William Paul Jung, he is amazed by the type of love that exuberates from him. He's just a big, lovely, cuddly type guy. And he says he loves us, that he's talking about God, and that God loves us as we are. He meets us when we are. He meets us where we are, and as we let him love us through Jesus, all our broken parts begin to be bathed with Papa's love, and in Sarayu's time and soul gardening grace, we become like Papa. You can become like God if you just open yourself up to love, 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 the secret, the Kabbalah, the Tree of Life, this Hinduistic type a mindset that you can become God if you really just love with all of your heart.
Secret society play both sides of the coin. They have unlimited resources to fund their operation, whether it be a Christian leaders or atheistic. In this next clip, Professor is admitting to the very game secret societies like to play.
Forwards and backwards, often these are half white, half black, representing the knowledge of light and the knowledge of darkness. And whether you worship the dark side or whether you worship the light side doesn't really make any difference. That is why it is interesting that the light side worshippers are known as Luciferians and the dark side are known as witches, wizards, and Satanists. And they are the best of friends because the deity is the same. It doesn't matter which vehicle you use to get to know him, It is the same deity. It is the same deity. It is the same deity.
Another symbol that is integral to satanic religion is the El Coronado.
You can find this sign on the back of the Satanic Bible by Anton LaVey. It doesn't mean I love you. It means allegiance to Satan. When the thumb and two middle fingers are turned down and the index and the pinky are turned up, it signifies the horns of the goat and that the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost are in subjection to the devil and Antichrist.
Like the pentagram, it too is virtually everywhere in rock music. Ozzy Osbourne, The Beatles, Kiss, and Dio are just a few examples where this sign for Satan is used.
Jesus' physical nature, he has the traits of his mother.
God had prepared that man to meet us so we could be a blessing to him, to put some fruit in his life.
Let all the earth
all these
keep silent.
Christian teachers are holding up that sign, ladies and gentlemen.
I know, but your hand just doesn't fall into a devil horn.
Morals and Dogma, page 851. The 32nd degree, this is the highest degree. The hermaphroditic figure, there you have him, male, female, is the symbol of the double nature anciently assigned to the deity. Now remember that the Knights Templars also worship Baphomet, who was hermaphrodite, male, female. There are many, many people that belong to the Masonic fraternity. Many, many people. Masonry, like all the religions, all the mysteries, hermeticism, and alchemy, conceals its secrets from all except the adepts and sages or the elect, and uses false explanations and misrepresentations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled. Basically stupid. We're just using you to conceal the truth, which it calls light from them and to draw them away from it. Truth is not for those who are unworthy or unable to receive it or would pervert it. So Masonry jealously conceals its secrets and intentionally leads conceited interpreters astray. Morals and Dogma, page 104-105. There you have it. Straight from the horse's mouth. Here's a high Mason book in Germany, and it tells us there exactly what they do. A Freemason, this is what stands there. Formed out of the materials of his lodge, behold a master mason rare, whose mystic portrait does declare the secrets of Freemasonry fair for all to read and see, but few there are to whom they're known, though they so plainly here are shown. So this is a language that you have to learn. They created this language because God confused the languages. So they created a language in symbolism that God would not be able to confuse in future.
All right, that's The Shack, documentary, witchcraft and demons. All right, we'll stop right there. That's it on The Shack, and that's it for this week on Ghostbusters. Thank you so kindly for joining us all week long. Continue to keep listening to KLITB, cause we're in your corner right here on Ghostbusters.
Cause you